If you would, take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 4. I've been given the task of trying to sum this up and preach a message all in about 10 to 15 minutes. So we'll see how this goes really quickly. I just want to point something out real quick. Camp was a great week. It's going to be when you prepare and you cut out distractions. When you are committed to making sure that you put the students in God's Word, giving them opportunities to do that, taking away the things that life that pull them away from that on a daily basis. We, truthfully, with the groups that we have there, we do camp differently. The other groups, they have phones, they have things that connect them to where they came from, their outside world. Many don't have any types of notes. I was taught a certain way by a certain pastor, and it's the only way that I know. And it's worked out. It changed my life at camp. It's changed what we see with students, and what we want to do is we want to keep the main thing the main thing. And when we go to camp, that's what we missed. And to sit there and tell you that the entire week was just flowers and rainbows and things like that would to be lying to you. Because when God starts to move, the powers of darkness start to battle at the same time. And there was spiritual battle after battle. Satan himself trying to divide our group in different ways. Brooklyn came up to me after Tuesday night, and our spot had been taken. After worship, you go to a certain group meeting spot. And we had gone, and we had signed up for a spot. And our spot was gone. Another group was just sitting there. We came in, we walked in the building, and they all look at us like we're crazy because we had just walked into their spot they had been meeting at. Well, so we decided to go up to the volleyball court. We play a little volleyball, and we have a devotional. Well, out of nowhere, we have locust dive bombing us. We have the lights shut off before their scheduled time to shut off in the middle of our devotional. And so there's all of these things, and Brooklyn comes up, and at that point in time, the camp dean came up and said, these lights weren't supposed to go off yet. And Brooklyn came up to me, and I had no idea. I thought they were on a timer. And she walked up, she said, the camp dean just came up and said that the lights weren't even supposed to shut off yet. She's like, I guess Satan really is attacking us this week. I was like, I don't know if we'd be as happy about that, but, you know, yes. When God moves, it's going to be combated. And the thing is that God, I truly believe that the Holy Spirit is working with these students. And I think we as a church need to make sure that we don't squash that we don't tell them to pump the brakes, that we don't expect them to come back down to this level that they were at before they left. And I want to preach against that this morning. In Acts 4, I want to show you this is where our focus comes from. This is where we hang everything on. This is where our name 413 Student Ministry comes from. And it's found in Acts chapter 4. And I want to start reading in verse 7. What we have here is we have Peter and John. They had come to the temple. They had healed a crippled man. And at that point in time, with the crowd that they had coming around them, they decided to teach in the name of Christ. That the reason they had the power to do this, that it was not from them, but it was from Jesus Christ, the one that had been crucified and the one that had resurrected. And here we have them. They had been arrested, and they brought them before the council the very next day. And this is where we pick up in verse 7. It says, when they had set them in the middle, they inquired, said, by what power or by what name did you do this? And Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become now the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then there's verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. When we come back from camp, what our goal is, what this youth group, what we want, is to we want people to look and recognize that we have spent time with the Savior. That the one that is powerful, the one that is mighty, he lives in us, and it is evident. you should notice a change. There should be something different come back. You know, I have a friend on Facebook, and his son went to a camp, and he posted on there, and I understood what he was saying, but he said, "My son always has a good time at camp, nothing different this year." And that just set with me wrong. And I understand what he's trying to say, but there should be something different when the students get back. There should be something different when they walk through your door, when they get off the van. There should be something noticeable that we are saying, "Wow, I want that." But many times we get off the van and we say, "Wonder when they're going to go back to the way they were. I wonder when this is going to extinguish. When they're going to come down off this camp high. When the camp effect will go away." And what we do is we mistaken it for a camp high or a camp effect rather than the moving of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus Christ is doing work and he's using teenagers to lead us, and many times we try to get right back out in front and say, "No, you go our speed. Slow down. Because I have a job. I do this. I do that. And I don't want to let it all go and to catch up to you. I want you to slow back down to where I'm at." In church, we cannot go back into that mold. No one here of the church sat there and told Peter and John that they were on a Pentecost high. The Pentecost effect must still be going on. We're ready for them to slow back down so they can get with the rest of the church. No, the rest of the church got behind them and moved up. I wanted you to fast forward a little bit. Because they were let go and they come back and they tell the other believers and they say, "Listen, this is what happened. The council let us go and this is what they said and this is what the reaction of the people was." And notice the reaction of the church when Peter and John come back. And I want you to start in verse 29 as they start a massive prayer session. And they hit their knees. They go down. They cross there. They close their eyes and they are praying to God. And notice what they said to them. It says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with all boldness." The reaction of the church was not, "You need to slow down so that you can be in line with us, but let us catch up and give us that same boldness to which you just had. Let the Holy Spirit move in us like it moved in you." And I'm going to ask you tonight, because I've heard it over and over, I saw it happen when I, as a camper, came back from camp, is that the rest of the church says, "Slow down." When in fact, we should be saying, "How can I sprint to catch up? Allow the Holy Spirit to move this morning so that the students can lead you, and then you can then in return lead them to go farther." Instead of slowing it down. Because I want to talk not just about what happened at camp, because camp is a great week. It's always going to be that. There's been very few students in the history that have come back and said it's not been a fun week. Or that we have, "Well, God moved me," or "I feel closer to God." It's going to happen. You get preached to for 5 straight days. You don't have a pulse if you don't come back and say, "I feel closer to God." But I want to share with you not what happened at camp, but what's happened since camp. And I want you to listen to this. All right? These are confirmed evidence of students acting in what they have done since they've come back. Things that I have seen, I've talked to them, and it's been done. I want you to hear this. All right? This is from our students. All right, the 25 that we took, no other, it's not a camp report or something like that. From our students, the way that the Holy Spirit worked in them and has moved since we've come back. I want you to hear this. One student unenrolled from their college to enroll in a new one in order to follow God's calling on her life. Another student, he told his parents about his newfound faith and then respectfully discussed with them why it wasn't necessary for him to go to Catholic confirmation classes. All right. Another student, he used Snapchat as a witnessing tool. Students have committed to personal time with Jesus daily. Students taking the lead to help upstart a new college class for our church. Students reaching out to specific friends that they wrote down at camp to share the gospel with. And when they got back, the first call that they made was to the friend that they wrote down. Next one, students asking for reading suggestions daily. My phone is buzzing off the hook. What can I read now? What can I go to next? Then those same students come back asking questions to clarify the scriptures so that they might better understand God's word. Next, a student creating a Bible reading schedule. A Bible reading schedule and quiet time discussion questions for her entire family. Stepping up and serving kids ministry. Students asking for ways that they can serve in the church body. Having gospel conversations with siblings. Following the movement of the Holy Spirit and trusting Jesus as their Savior since camp, not at camp. Purposely turning off technology and other distractions to spend 1 hour in God's Word and prayer. Imagine what we could do if we turned off everything for 60 minutes a day out of the 24 hours and just devoted it to God. Imagine the change that could happen, not only in our church, but our community, our world, if we give 60 minutes to God. 60 minutes, the one that gave Himself, the one that gave it all, the one that laid it all down for us, if we could commit to 60 minutes for Him. Students are doing that right now. Changing attitudes at home and trying to respect their parents, even if their parents don't deserve the respect that they're getting back. And let me tell you, you've not heard some of the stories of our students' homes. For them to do that in the face of how they're treated, of the harsh reactions of their own parents, and to still respectfully respond in the way that God has called them to, that is a movement of the Holy Spirit. That is something to be praised. And then in their struggles and their weaknesses and their trials, instead of going to their 7th grade friend or their 10th grade friend for advice, they seek and turn to God's Word for wisdom. Not society's opinion, not what the group follows after. And I tell you, I want to argue this morning that this is not the work of a camp. This is not the work of a youth group. This is not the work of a youth pastor or a camp effect or a camp high. I want to argue with you this morning that this is the movement of the Holy Spirit, and it's either you get on board or we're going to allow it to come back down. We get behind these students and we allow them to lead us until we're at a point where we can have them catch back up to us. But I want to tell you this morning that if the Holy Spirit doesn't move in this, if we don't see this as a movement of the Holy Spirit and that Jesus Christ is working, that these are His hands and His feet that are moving these students, then we do not deserve to call ourselves a church body, because we have to recognize who He is and when He's working and where He's working, and we need to get in line so that we can get the same work done. And I tell you, church, I'm begging you this morning to be a part of the movement, not to be a barrier or a stop sign.